to Romans chapter 1. And I had mentioned this, the Lord had laid upon my heart that we're going to take a journey in some highlights of the bridal encouragement in Romans. And I will tell you, and now we're on his leading, but I have to tell you that I believe that God is encouraging. We're going to be in one chapter each week. And that's why I say, you pray. But highlights of glory, and there's so many highlights of glory, we know that, every verse. But highlights of glory, and maybe we'll even get some more glimpses of things, maybe a little more lowly even, not only higher, wider, just treasure upon treasure as he brings us down into the chambers of his heart. But one common thing we're going to see is his glory is the revelation and magnifying of his mercy in us. Now think about that. His glory is the revelation and the magnifying of his mercy in us. His mercy. And brothers and sisters, yes, we are mercy's masterpiece of grace. We're mercy's masterpiece of grace, making us his very righteousness, even to the exalted rank and crown of righteousness, if we'll believe in the masterpiece, praise God, of mercy by the grace of God. It's amazing to think of. So let's go ahead and begin. Romans 1, verse 1. It says there, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now this is very sweet because immediately it is established, it's the word. It's the word. It's the gospel. And notice here that Paul is separated to the gospel. That word separated means he is completely off limits to anything but the word of God. That word separated means you're off limits. Now I want you to think about that just as this begins. I mean, this is something that is fierce, if you will. This is very, very passionate. This is something I believe that would be, I would say, something like a marriage. Paul's gospel is the gospel of you're mine. You're mine alone, and you're no one else's. I believe he said it real early on in the Old Testament. I'm a jealous God. I love you with a godly jealousy. And I'm thankful to know we are not our own, we are his. People get uncomfortable, and I think, oh my goodness, that's the most comfortable statement, most restful statement I could ever hear. When I can rely on God that much, I'm yours. I am yours. Hallelujah. Praise his name. So, we move right on over to verse 5. And this tells us all because of grace. This is all because of grace. And even our obedience, listen to this, even our obedience and our faith is because of grace. Let's read verse 5 together. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. That's a marvelous thing. It's a very precious encouragement to our hearts, brothers and sisters. We're submitting. We're confident in faith because of grace. I believe there's so many people that approach it the complete opposite way. And you'll never believe without grace. It's by grace through faith. Everything is by grace. You'll never make any moves into the furtherance of anything with the Lord without grace. Because it is by grace that we grow. And the Word of God tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God for this. I thank God for that teaching. I thank God for that assurance. I thank God for His Word. Now, think of these Roman saints that Paul is speaking to here. These Roman saints, they have great faith. Let's read verse 8. Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." So these ones are mature ones, if you will. And they're mature ones in what? In grace. Because we just read that there is no obedience to faith without grace. Paul is commending them for their faith. So these ones must be, as I would say, grace saints. And mature ones, because they furthered on in believing God. And all of this building of grace and faith is for one thing. And we know this, because we know Paul's gospel. This one thing is for the much the more. And that's what I want us to see by the grace of God. That's what's so just encouraged in my heart. Romans is, and it's been said, and those that understand this precious book or letter to these Romans, this is like a little small Bible within itself. It really is. If the Lord just gave us Romans, that's over the top. It's beyond anything we could ask or think, and it truly is. Because it takes you, I'll tell you what, it takes you from guilt to mercy to love to, and then you get to the 8th chapter, my goodness, you're going to be ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. And you thank the Lord that it's His keeping and what it teaches us in here. But we're going to see in every chapter that there's this pulse of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It keeps pulsing out to us. And thanks be to God for Romans and actually throughout the whole Word of God. And there's no other word mentioned as much as you'll find. You'll find love in the Word of God, and you're going to find mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Who uttered mercy the most? David. He snuggled right up to it. It was his praise and his rejoicing. Kind of interesting, isn't it? He was the man after God's own heart. What do you think, God's own heart? Oh, he's a merciful God. And I like to spell that with a double L. Merciful God. Praise his name. Thankful you love him like that. But that's how you love him. You love him because he's merciful. Praise his name. So, you see here that it is for one thing. It's the much the more. Let's read verse 11 together. "For I long to see you." Why did he long to see him? To have coffee? Build houses? You know, go see a great movie? Let's talk about how many projects we're going to do? No. Paul was about one thing. "That I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established." See, it wasn't just a gift that a lot of people try to think about, a gift. Oh, no. This was bestowing something. This was bestowing something for the much the more. Matter of fact, it was for them. The gift was for them to be established. What is the only thing that can establish you? The gospel of Christ. Amen. That's it. And matter of fact, it's so beautiful. This word established, it means fixed and strengthened, and it means the pillars. The pillars. He wanted them to be pillars. Does this not cause your heart to leap over to Revelation chapter 3 and think of the Philadelphia church? The Lord says, "And I will make you pillars in the house of the Lord." Praise God. The true vessel, adding to the usefulness of the husband. Praise God. He is the foundation, and thanks be to God, she's grown out of the foundation, the pillars, and she helps hold it up. Isn't that beautiful? She lifts him up. Oh, it's gorgeous. I see all of that glory and symbolism in the beauty of the love of Christ and what he wants for us, but this is a wondrous thing. Now, as we're moving along here, I want you to go right on over to verse 16. One of our favorites. We love this because we're encouraged every time we read this precious verse. In verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Listen to that. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And with that power of the gospel that we just are assured of, let's let it open up the meaning of verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." It's because of the power of that gospel of Christ that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Now, all I can say is hallelujah. We are righteous. Praise God. We have been made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's, again, the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. That precious blood. And it's the righteousness of God revealed in us. And how is that revealed, as it says here? From faith to faith. So think of this again. You're fully righteous. When you're born of God, you are fully righteous because you have the life of Christ in you. Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Amen? "And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So there is one life. Christ lives in us. That life is fully righteous. Amen. But now the word of God is after that life be revealed. That life be magnified. That life grow up. But you know, it's interesting. A lot of people say, "Oh yes, I want to be a light unto the world." Sure, we want to be a light unto the world. But who does that righteousness need to be revealed to for you to be a light? You. You need to understand that righteousness. Isn't that what it is? We're to grow in the knowledge of this righteousness that we've been made for him. Is it not the treasure in the earthen vessel? Oh, praise God. Is it not the exalted rank of righteousness crown that Paul said that was laid up for him? And not to him only, but to all them also that loved his appearing? Praise the Lord. This is this encouragement to us to understand what we have been given. We are the vessels that have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. As Jesus said to those disciples about sending the Holy Ghost, "There's many things I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You can't understand them. Yet when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's been with you. He shall be in you. He will take the things of mine and show them unto you." Now, what things of his did he give you? Everything. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad. Praise God. And you know it. But he gave you all things. But you got to understand them. Little lords of all. Amen. Little kings. But see, even though we're born with that life to rule and reign, if we do not grow up in that life and in the knowledge of that life, even though we were born to reign and born to have it all, as it says in Galatians 4, verse 1, we'll be just like a servant in that kingdom. Because we refused and neglected so great salvation. Become wise unto this salvation. Become wise unto this very righteousness of God he's made you. This is what this is speaking of. Praise be to God, we are righteous. And I thank the Lord that it's from faith to faith that we grow in it. It's not by works we grow in righteousness. See, that's man's mind. Oh, he's a righteous guy. Because of some way he acts. No, righteousness is revealed by faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes no other way. And to grow in this righteousness revealed comes but one way, from faith to faith. That's just an infinite thing in our lives. Continue to grow in believing. Amen? Oh, yes, even to the most holy faith, the most set apart faith. So set apart, you're like the Shulamite. And they finally have to yell at her, "Come back, return, return." She's so gone in believing, she ain't ever coming back. And I pray we go on in this word that that's what happens in our life right now. It's just like the prophet said, "Oh, I was out there at the ankles and I was out there at the knees. And then it was up to the loins and then you just disappear in it." And this is where we're headed. This is where he's drawing us, and we know it. But see, it's not by works, it's by faith. And this is the depth of the knowledge of our righteousness, the righteousness of God that we have been made, what we are, what we've been made for him, and to grow up fully in the knowledge of it by believing and more believing. But there's only way you can believe more. You've got to continue to hear more truth. It's impossible to believe God without faith. It's impossible to have faith without the word of God. It's impossible to have faith for this glorious, full glory righteousness, the bride of Christ, without continually feeding on the strong meat, as we rejoiced a couple Sundays back, without rejoicing in Paul's gospel. It's impossible without it. So we thank God for this. To grow up fully and, hallelujah, understanding this full righteousness that we have been made. And see, this is not righteousness somewhere in heaven, but this is fully righteous. And the full righteousness right here, right now, and in us. In us. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. I'm not going to be any more of a son of God in heaven than I am right now. Amen. And the growth that's going to happen in this son, it's got to happen now. Because over there, that moment, that time shall be no more. It's done. It's finished. That faith is finished. But I pray that it'll be fully finished. To the praise and the glory of his grace. And we again thank him for that. And brothers and sisters, it's right here, it's right now, it is in us. And then to have it revealed in us and made known deeper in understanding, even to the height of the knowledge and believing the grace spoken of in Ephesians 4:13, that we would grow up to the measure, the stature, the fullness. Listen to those words. I mean, it just is amazing, isn't it? When you think of Jesus and who he is. But this is God the Father, and his plan is for his sons to fully grow up and be fully purposed in the purpose of God, just the same for his only begotten son, that his full purpose, that he would go to the cross for you. His full purpose, that it was the joy before you, son, that you'll endure that cross. The full purpose for us, sons, that we finish our course, we finish our race with a full joy. A full joy. And Jesus showed us that. You know how? He was fully confident in the Father. He was fully confident in the Father's plan. He was fully confident, even when the Father turned from him, as he was on the cross, he was fully confident and knew that even though he had turned him, even though his Father had forsaken him. Oh, yes, he did. Why hast thou forsaken me? He knew it had to happen. He had to have all of sin upon him. But he was confident in the Father's plan of love. And it took him on in joy and peace in believing, oh, you may beat this body and you may tear its flesh, but in 3 days he's going to raise it up. Huh? Now what has he promised you, sons? What has he promised you? He's promised you just the same. His promises are just the same. And if he be for you, who could be against you? And think of it, sons. He wants you to be raised to the full sonship glory of his only begotten. He wants the same glory for you. Why would he not? Because it's the same life that lives in you of his only begotten. This is a oneness that you got to get into. But only by understanding the depth of his love and the depth of his mercy and the depth of his power that he's purposed this for us. Oh, it's marvelous. To the stature, the fullness, the measure, like him. How does that happen? By faith. By faith. By faith in what? His grace. His wondrous plan of grace. His wondrous plan in his Son. And by the way, he's full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. So, it's not by man's opinion, but it is by faith in grace. And even to Christ in you, the hope of glory, that much faith to faith in grace. And I love that. You beautiful righteousness. You beautiful righteousness, God's vessel. Oh, my. Now, think of faith so immense. Faith so immense. To believe completely, us made his righteousness, enables us to be glorified together with him. Only God could deliver that, amen. Amen. Has he given you faith that immense? Amen. And why? Because you see that his grace is even greater. His grace is greater. His grace is always greater. And his grace will take your faith right along. It'll grow your faith. But you got to continue to see that his grace is greater. Amen. Oh, yes. It's wonderful to believe the Lord, but you haven't seen anything yet. You're still breathing. You still got things to see that he's going to show you. Oh, but my grace is greater. And we all know how that comes. It comes a lot of different ways. A lot of times that great, wonderful grace comes in super duper failure. But I'll tell you what, if you'll take that grace, you'll believe God like you never believed before. You'll believe him in a depth and a height and a width and a length that you never would have had. He knows you. He's always going to bring you along like that. Because he loves you. And we're going to get there in just a minute, but I think you already know what we're going to talk about again. Because he's a merciful God. Now, think about what it comes down here to say. It says, and the just, what? Shall live by faith. Amen? Now think of this statement here. That means the approved of God. The just are the approved of God. Matter of fact, let's say it this way. God's approval lives by this. Lives by what? Lives by this faith. And a lot of times we just read through it and say, well, that just makes me warm and fuzzy all over. This is just great. And I love that. But you know what? I think we need to take a moment and really understand what this statement is. The just shall live by faith. And where it really came from. It came from Habakkuk chapter 2. So there's a reason this is repeated again. This wasn't just a saying, which is a beautiful saying. It's not just a saying. It's a truth. God's approval is by faith. God's approval is not by works, is it? God's approval is not by doing. God's approval is by believing God. What did Abraham do that it was counted unto righteousness? He believed God. He believed God. By faith, he inherited those promises. What is the 11th chapter of Hebrews all about? All about those incredible things that were attained and apprehended by all of those people that loved and believed the word of God by faith. It didn't list out all the works they did. Matter of fact, if you read about their lives, it speaks so much about all of the unbelief they had and how they had trouble believing God. But God brought them to points of their life where they saw the impossible. They saw everything was against them, everything, and man chirping and saying, oh, where's your God and all this, and bam, God laid it down. And they believed God, and they believed God before he even laid it down. They believed his word. I'm going to do this for you, honey. I'm going to do this for you. And people would say, oh, you're crazy, you're this, you're that. And you know what? God's word is true, and it happened. Huh? You believe that. Amen, you do. I thank God for ones like Moses, meekest man that ever lived. He made some big mistakes, but I'll tell you one thing. He believed God. He didn't believe in the plagues. He believed God. He knew God would bring those plagues. They all saw those plagues. But yet, what did they do? They still murmured. They still complained. But Moses had faith in God that he believed God and he followed God and he followed God right down to the sea. And he knew God didn't take him out there to destroy him. He knew God would make a way. Lift up your hand, Moses. Watch me. Be still and know that I'm God. Whew. And there they went, walking across on dry ground. I was laughing with a brother last night as we were at dinner. It was sweet. You think about those people of God. I will say God's people, Israel. They were out there. They were seeing a miracle every single, 6 days a week. 6 days a week, manna from heaven. If you saw manna 6 days a week from heaven, out there on your front porch, and you went out and got it, and then the testimony that, you know what, I'm only going to give it 6 days, but the sixth day I'm going to give you enough for 2 days, you'd say, well, man, his miracle's so great, he just shows us that he does that even on that day. A miracle every day, and what did they still do? They murmured and complained. Do you see the acts of God will never get it done? If you're going by God, waiting for him just to do for you, in a sense of material speaking and all of that, prosper and be in health, and they come at you in a lot of different ways, you'll never believe God. And that just shows you right there, they saw a miracle every single day. Every day. And yet they still fussed at God. You see Paul's gospel every single day. God help us not to fuss at God. You know what I'm saying? I sure don't want quail coming out my nose. Huh? Oh yeah. I don't even want to think about that right now. But Habakkuk 2, go on over there. Now you're going to see what the just shall live by faith. What he's talking about here. The approved of God. See, it's not just that it's faith. It's very specific and distinct what God's after here. In Habakkuk chapter 2, and we'll just go from verse 2 here. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that reads it. So once again, it's speaking of the word of God, this encouragement, and then this passion to run. We had a sermon on this not too long ago. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. See, it's coming, it's coming. But at the end, it shall speak and it won't lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And you go right down to that fourth verse at the second half of it. But the just shall live by his faith. There's a passion, there's a pursuing, there's a believing what God says. Amen? I believe that God says that there is going to be a meeting in the air. That there is going to be a trumpet. It's the voice of the archangel, the voice of our bridegroom. And those that are listening and in love and in tune with that message of the bride, they'll hear that rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. And that will be those that have passed away of the Smyrna company. And those remaining. Yeah, they're alive in faith, just like Smyrna's alive in faith, even though they've fallen asleep. But they remain. They'll be caught up together with him in the air. Huh? I believe that. Absolute. And I believe it's for me. It's not just believing, but I believe it's for me. See, that was a Joshua and a Caleb heart, wasn't it? It wasn't just the land of Canaan. It wasn't just the promise. It was my promise. Yeah, see, the others that were afraid and saw the spies, they believed in a promise. And they believed that, yeah, that was what God had planned, but yet things kind of looks like they're in the way. But see, when you're fully purposed about God's plan for you, when you walk in full assurance of faith, believing God's word for you, it don't matter what's out there. It's all that matters is what's in here that I believe. And that's the truth. Now, immediately, it's going back to Romans here. We jump right on over to the 18th verse. And here we go. It turns to the wrath of God. Let's read it out to the end. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by those things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God does reveal himself in everything he's made. Now, verse 21, you talk about the time we're in. Because that when they knew God, think about how we knew God in this country. Every single monument's got scriptures on it. Every single one. Go study about the Washington Monument and the looking at the White House and all of those different things. You'll read all about the Word of God in those things. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served, basically what that's saying is creation, the creature, man, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Oh, it's going on at an increasing rate. I mean an increasing rate. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is a mind. Oh, what a mind that is. They can't even discern right from wrong. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Whew. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Even so, Lord, come. Praise be to God. Well, that's how guilty. And that's why he does this. He's revealing to us, because of his mercy, this great guilt and this great shame for one thing, for growth and praise for his mercy. Brothers and sisters, complete dependence on his mercy. Always, always, always. I'm so thankful we know this. All growth comes from the blood on the mercy seat. All the growth comes from the blood on the mercy seat. That's why the cherubim, their gaze is affixed upon the mercy. They don't look at anything but what the power of the blood did and what the power of the blood does. Praise God, the fullness of it, and moving on and deeper in it, the depths of the plan, the desires of God's inner chambers of his heart, all in that mercy seat. And no wonder, see, this is it. No wonder the golden cherubim grow right up out of that mercy. They grow out of the mercy. See, you can't grow out of anything but mercy. If you want that, if you want that intimacy, if you want that oneness in that sense of that bridal truth, it's got to be one thing. It's mercy. It's mercy. And then they grow up out of it. They don't look up and say, oh, I'm so great. They bow right back down and look at the mercy, because his mercy endures forever. The only way you really understand grace, the only way you'll really understand grace and understand why he would give you all grace, you must understand he is a God that loves his mercy. To really understand his grace and why he gives you the grace, it's because you have to understand he's a God that loves his mercy. Oh, it is beautiful. Because he's beautiful. And this is his beautiful way. He embraces mercy. He magnifies and bestows the riches of his glory on mercy. On mercy. Isn't that amazing? He bestows the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy. We're going to read that here again here in a minute, because you got to go to Romans chapter 9. He tells you you want to rule and reign with you, right, in Romans 8. But then he tells you again, because he's got to remind you, honeys, it's because I'm a God of mercy. He gives everything to mercy, because he can't help it. He freely gives it because he's merciful. And that's who you and I are. That's who I am. We are his vessels of mercy. And we have been blessed with everything in Christ. The glory of his mercy. Yes, go on over to Romans 9. And I believe it's verse 23. What does it say there? That should be highlighted, starred, everything in your Bible. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. What? Which he had afore prepared unto glory. See, that's what you're prepared for. He wants to adorn you like a bride with all of the riches of his glory. But it's only going to be bestowed one way. Mercy. You betcha. It's always that. It's got to be that, because that's the God that he is. That's why he gives me grace, because he's rich in love. And he loves one thing. He really does. He loves his mercy, because mercy magnifies him. Do you realize that? He's going to be praised. He's going to be exalted. How is he exalted? Because he's merciful. And mercy magnifies him, doesn't it? Amen? His strength, his love, him doing everything because he is love. The cherubim are out of him, amen? Just like the ribs out of him. Amen? Okay, here you go. Here's some highlights on mercy. And there's so many, but these are just great. Exodus 20, there's mercy on them that love me. Exodus 25, God exalts mercy. Psalms 13, David trusted in mercy. 2 Samuel, you got to go back and hear it again, honey. That's why you got to go through this thing 4 or 5 times. 2 Samuel, mercy never departed from David. You see that? So Psalm 13, David trusted in mercy. 2 Samuel tells us that mercy never departed from David. Psalm 32, trust in the Lord and mercy encompasses you. You know, isn't that interesting? Most people would say, well, I'm trusting in God. Why would I need mercy? Isn't that the most stupid thing you'd ever hear? See, if you trust in the Lord, then mercy encompasses you. Because you're trusting in the merciful God. Do you see how man's approach is so off in Christianity? I'm going to get to God by being good. Oh my goodness, he's given me all goodness. I get to God by praising him. I draw nigh to him. Praise God by grace. And he gives grace to the humble. Psalm 33, hope and mercy. Psalm 147, and there's so many in between. God has pleasure in his mercy. Isn't that marvelous? God has pleasure in his mercy. Isaiah 30, we are exalted by his mercy. You're not exalted by your works. You're exalted by his mercy. Isaiah 30, we are exalted by his mercy. And Hosea, God wants mercy, not sacrifice. Isn't that beautiful? He wants mercy, not sacrifice. He don't want your works. He wants his mercy. I love Micah 6. God loves his mercy. He just sits it right out there plain. God loves his mercy. Micah 7, God delights in his mercy. Well, I'll tell you what. He loves me and he delights in me. Because I'll tell you what, I am a vessel of mercy. Praise God. All right, we got to hit the accelerator here. Now, do you see why justified by faith has everything to do with the bride? Justified by faith has everything to do with the bride. Because even the bride is all by the blood on the mercy seat. See, nothing changes with the Lord. Growth in Christ comes from one place. It never changes. If you're going to grow up out of him and into him and all things, you're going to grow up out of mercy. You have to... Okay, here we go. His incredible mercy in the blood that justifies us. The same blood in all its depths and power and glory must be revealed in you for full glory for him. It's just like Esther. You think of this. She had to go to the place where she knew it was death. She knew it was death when she came to that king. That was what was called for, coming to him like she did. But she had to understand his mercy. But then when she understood the mercy, that not only did he save me and save the people, he was so merciful. He said, honey, I'm so smitten with you, little vessel of mercy. That's what mine is yours. It's our story. And he doesn't have a lot of time to tell us this. This is why he gives us those stories that get right to the point. You didn't deserve it. But that's the way I did it. How much of the exact extreme opposite of what you deserved will you believe? His brother Hill used to talk about his mama. Well, I can believe enough of the exact extreme opposite that if I get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. And he'd just shake his head and was so sad. Mama, you think you're being, lowly and gracious and humble. No, you're not. You're being fearful. You're not trusting in God. You're not believing God in the fullness of his glory that he did and he gave for you in that blood. The power that's in that blood. It wants to catapult you to the exact extreme, infinite opposite of the death and sin that you were in. And we know what that is. That's ruling and reigning jointly together with Him, glorified together with Him in the midst of the throne. See, this is faith and mercy. Most Christians have no idea because they don't understand what faith of mercy is all about. This is a wonderful verse. I'll just mention it here. In Matthew 23:23, it says, judgment, mercy, and faith. Think of those words together. Judgment. How could judgment, and then mercy, and then faith? Well, welcome to Romans. That's what Romans is. That's what we just read. This is what this Romans is all about. Every man was guilty, dead in your trespasses and sin. There's none good, no, not one. But God, who is rich in mercy. Why is He rich in mercy? Because that's where all His riches are. That's where all His riches are. That's where all His glory, that's where the mother lode is the God who is rich in mercy. And in His great love, oh, wherewith He loved. Judgment, mercy, faith. And that's how it happens. See, knowing mercy cherubim fully coming out of the mercy seat, you know what? It brings all glory faith. It brings all glory faith. It brings faith that I believe someday I'll descend in that body, that bridal body, for Him, having the glory of God for Him. And I'll have His light. And us together, that city won't need any light. Because the glory of God did lighten it. That's her. And she is the light thereof. That's Him. That's mercy. To the uttermost. So here it is. This is what Romans 1 is all about. All guilty, but God, great grace, great love, brings all faith. And even the most set apart faith, completely opposite of what we deserve faith, because of the knowledge and the power and the provision of His mercy and how far it has taken us in the extreme opposite of guilt and death and shame to ruling and reigning jointly together the riches of glory that only the vessels of mercy will bestow. That's true. You will never find any glorying in works in Romans. Works only brings death, defeat, pride, self-vainglory. Romans is all about one thing, and that is grace through faith. And that's what is all pleasing to the Father. It's not works and the works of self-righteousness, but it's the praise for His Son's blood, the mercy, the power of it all. So this is why, dead in trespasses and sin, and none righteous, no, not one, the law judged us all, that state of death. And that's the beginning of the knowledge of mercy. It is. And that's the continuing growth in obtaining mercy for more grace, for more growth at the throne of grace. Think of that. Turn on over to Hebrews 4:16. We'll dismiss reading this tonight. Here it is. This is our life. More growth. At the throne of grace. Why is that? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You'll never find grace without obtaining and embracing mercy first. And that word find, it means understand. You'll never understand grace without obtaining mercy first. Because he is a merciful God. God willing, chapter 2 next week. Okay. I hope that encouraged your heart. But he's like a, I tell you what, he's like a fountain in us, isn't he? Just, praise the Lord. All right, let's stand, be dismissed.